So I left off on the last episode, the last recording, talking about how church has become, you know, there's the shift into money, and I talked about tithe and things like that. And now I want to kind of shift, because it kind of put me directly into, you know, this topic, which I wanted to really cover too. So there's this focus in the church today where, you know, people, you know, and I was saying that people are kind of getting to that point now where they're like, you know what, I forget it. I don't need your organization. I don't need your system in order to get to God. I don't need to give you any money. I don't need to give you anything in order to get to God. All I need to do is get together with my brother and my sister in the Lord or in Christ. And, you know, we can do our own thing. We don't need to give you anything. There's a certain reformation that's happening. You know, I literally watch people every Sunday who still feel an obligation and bondage to tradition, and they do this out of an obligation to tradition. And for me internally, it's frustrating, because in my heart of hearts, I want you to be liberated. But I cannot free you. I can take you to the water, but I can't make you drink. And in that sense, if you choose to remain bonded, then you have chosen who your God is. And that's kind of where I want to go. You know, there's that remnant of people who are just like, you know what, I'm getting away from this. And I can present you with all the facts that you want, but I can't make you, you know, accept it. And there are people who are saying, I'm getting away from this so that I can be free. And that is kind of where I'm at. That's where I'm at, you know, honestly. I want to get away from this system of bondage that has so aggressively connected itself to the body of Christ, to the people who have followed Jesus Christ. And actually not even aggressively, just extensively, you know, it connected itself to that. So there's this segment of people who were walking away from this whole thing. And when I say, you know, they're thinking, oh, I don't have to give you any money. I want to be clear. It's not that there is a bond to money or a connection to money, or that the money is at the forefront, as much as the money in and of itself symbolizes an abuse of power. An abuse of authority, an abuse of and the tool that was used to manipulate. That's really what it is. I don't have to give you money in that I do not have to let you manipulate me through this means anymore. You know, I was working because I'm as a youth, young adult pastor, because money was involved. And when I realized that that was my sole motivation, well, not sole, but that was a major part of my motivation, you know, I had to make a choice. And the choice that I made was to walk away. Of course, there were other factors. But if you are doing what you're doing in ministry because it's putting food on your table, because it's putting clothes on your back, then I'm sorry, but you have the wrong motivation. You should be doing what you're doing, not because it gives you money, but because you love what you're doing, because you care about the people that you're helping. For me, I care about the spiritual well-being of the people who I connect with, to an extent that I will make myself look like a fool for the sake of you, you know, for the sake of your own growth. You know, people, I get hazed. I mean, I don't mean literally, you know, beat outside with a rod kind of thing, or people throwing pies at me. But my God, the looks that I get, the conversations that don't get held, the gaps in relationships that I have created, or that people have created, simply because they just do not understand and are afraid to ask. And even in their fear of asking, cannot handle the reality, you know. And I do that because I need to create those gaps in your thought process. I need to create those gaps. I need you to be able to question. I need that. You need it. And I need it for you, so that you can look at it and look at your life and look at the decisions that you're making and begin to ask yourself, well, why in the heck am I doing this? Why is it that he doesn't feel any sense of conviction about making decisions that seem so controversial or so contrary to what the mainstream narrative is? Why is it that he feels that it's okay? But isn't this the guy that, you know what they said about Jesus? Isn't that Joseph's son? son? Yes, this is Joseph's son. You know, why is it that this guy can stand there and speak with such power? You know, and I take things, and I've said it before. Sometimes the best preaching that you can do is the preachings with your actions. You know, why is he invisible? Why don't I see him? What is it? And I believe that when you don't see me, when you don't see me or when you don't hear me, that there are, that is preaching at its loudest. Because you're breaking what is the traditional stereotype, the understood norms, the understood behaviors. And for me, I would rather force you to question so that you could go down your own path of discovery of truth than to stand there and cause you to be bored by me lecturing you for 45 minutes. Sometimes you preach louder with the actions, with your actions, than you do with your words. And that is the philosophy that I know to be true and how I preach. That said, and that was such a rabbit hole or such a tangent. But going back, there is this bond to money that I am so sick of, you know, when it comes to the church, the organized church. I'm not bashing the church. I am trying to get you to see your reality. There is this connection and this relationship with money that is so unhealthy, You know, people don't understand this. They do not get it. And I'm really, really, really hoping that, you know, you begin to wake up to the reality of this. So here's the thing about money. Money in and of itself, okay, if you can ride down this river with me, you know, it doesn't exist, okay? Currency as a concept does, okay? And you can use currency as a means of exchange. But money in and of itself is not really a thing. It's not a thing. I can't explain it any other way than that. So here's the thing. Currency is what allows you to exchange value, whereas money is a physical representation of the currency. Here's the thing. That physical representation in and of itself has no value. For example, our dollars. Our dollars literally are worthless. It's just a piece of paper. And the only reason this piece of paper has value is because as a whole, as a society, we've decided that this piece of paper with a one on it and a dead guy's face has value. Truth be told, it doesn't. It's just a piece of paper worth less than the clothing that you're wearing that we have assigned. That's the key thing. We have assigned a value to it. Now, keep that in mind. The green piece of paper or the credits in your bank account are worthless. They have no value. They are currency, but as money, they are just pieces of paper, tangibly speaking, pieces of paper with zero value. And in the real world, they are worth less than the clothes that you wear on your back or the candy that you buy at the grocery store. To be actually literal, the actual dollar is only worth a few cents. Literally only worth about 3 to 4 cents if you're actually being physical or actually correct. So if we're being technical, the actual dollar is only worth a few cents. It's not worth 99 pennies. It's only worth about 3 or 4. So here's where I'm going with this. So you take this idea, this reality that the physical dollar is only worth 3 to 4 cents, if the piece of paper is worth that much, but is only worth 3 to 4 cents or less, and you take this reality that this piece of paper has been promoted in churches today as an obligatory feature of worship, in that God is requiring this from you. This piece of paper, which diminishes in value on the daily basis. Actually, let's not even say diminishes in value. It fluctuates in value. Some days it goes up, some days it goes down. But yet you're required to give 10% of whatever you bring in on a weekly basis. Listen, ultimately, it is impossible for you to give 10% of anything that you make, because you have to factor in inflation. And if you are not factoring in inflation, you are not actually tithing. But you can't factor in inflation, because inflation changes on a daily basis. And if your job is not paying you in inflation, you are not actually tithing. So do you go back to your manager and say, hey, I need you to I need to figure out what my income, my wages were before inflation, pre-tax? They're not going to do it. You'd have to do it, but you wouldn't be able to, because you don't have access to that information. Nonetheless, so that said, you are not actually tithing, because you are not factoring in inflation, and the actual value of the dollar that you were paid in every single day as the value of the dollar went up and it went down every single day. And the currency went up and went down every single day. You are not tithing the right way. One, because you're using money. Two, because you're not actually using the correct values. Nonetheless, let's go further. So if, but there is this loyalty to this currency, right, that you have to bring to these organizations, to these companies, to these 501c3s, et cetera, and you have to give it to them, and you have to make sure in order for you to, now, that's one thing, that's in order for you to even participate a lot of times, if you are a preacher, you cannot, in a number of churches now, and you're not tithing, you're shunned. If you're on the praise team and you're singing, but you don't tithe, you're shunned and can be set down. If you're in the choir, you can be set down for not paying a tithe. If you're a deacon, you can be set down for not paying a tithe. If you're whatever, in the, a minister, and you're not paying a tithe, you can be set down. I've seen these contracts. I've signed them in the past where it says, oh, well, if you don't tithe, you can be set down. Long story short, this is garbage. It is wrong. And here's the reality. There is, and this is what I'm getting at. There is a loyalty, not to the ministry of the gospel, but to the ministry of mammon. There is this loyalty to mammon that the organized church has. And by mammon, I mean greed, money. There is a loyalty to mammon that the organized church has that is sick, disgusting, and wrong. And I want no part of it. And that is where I'm at nowadays. I don't want any part of that. There's a spirit of condemnation that comes along with it, whereby if you decide you don't want to deal with that, now you feel guilty because you don't want to be a part of an organization that glorifies mammon over God. Now you feel guilty because you don't want to be a part of a system of oppression that oppresses the people of God to mammon and to money and makes them subject to the spirit of greed. You don't want to be a part of that. Now you're shunned and you're exiled from the community. Did this happen to me by force? Am I church hurt? Am I burnt? No. But when I realized that I had a choice and I had to walk away from it, and that is the reality, guys, and that's what I can't see, and that's what I know, is that people who are Christian, who really love Jesus and who are followers of Christ, are being challenged with. When they see the reality of this, they have to choose. Do I continue to glorify and build up this organization that has decided to use money as leverage to oppress me? Not so much that it was an overt a choice as much as it was the way that it evolved because of the decisions that were established at the onset, but as much as it is, this is the way that this system works now. Now that you've peeled back the curtain, what decision will you make? You know, what choice do you make? You are an adult now. You have to pick. And for me, it became a thing of I choose not to be a part of that. You know, there is an allegiance to mammon, and that is what I think a lot of people looking at the organized church today and say, I don't want to be tied to that. You know, the reason you're in debt is because you have an allegiance to mammon. The reason that you never have enough and you always want more, you always want the latest and greatest, is because you have an allegiance to mammon. You have decided to be in allegiance with this spirit of greed. Oh, come on, Joe, that's not fair. Come on, this is the way the system works. Exactly. And when you realize that, you have a choice. Oh, man, I hope you realize that. That is the reality that you have. You have a choice now. You have to pick which world you live in. You have to pick which system you live in. Are you going to survive or live in the system of greed, which uses debt as leverage to make you beholden to the system? Or are you going to be free of it, which says, all right, whatever it takes to get free of debt, to get free of bondage to money, that's what I'm going to do. And the weirdest thing is, when I finally got to a point where I was like, screw money, I don't need it. You know, I was like, you know what? I don't want anything to do with mammon and his crap. Okay. When you realize that, when I finally got to that point where I was done with that guy and all of his system, that was when God actually began to bless me monetarily. It was the weirdest thing, because I'm like, I don't want his system. I don't want his money. I don't want anything to do with it. But it was weird because it's like, okay, well, you need it in a sense to get out of it. Because give to Caesar what is Caesar is and Caesar's and give to God what is God's, right? And when you fully devote yourself to God, God will give you what you need to get the heck and get the hell away from that guy. And that's kind of what's happening to me, because I'm like in this place where I don't want anything to do with Mammon and his system of oppression. And God is saying, all right, well, good. I'll give you what you need to get away from him. But you got to be willing to get away from him when you can get away from him. And that's what's happening. So I'm not wanting for anything. I'm not struggling, thank God. I'm not greedy either. You know, I have enough to get where I need. I have enough to get by. And I told my wife, I said, God forbid, but if the car that I have breaks down, I will not get another one, because I refuse to go into debt or sign another contract into an allegiance with Mammon for the sake of being able to get around. I will rent a car, but for a short period of time, through one of these weird apps, or I'll freaking lift to where I need to go before I go buy another freaking car and sign another allegiance of debt to this demon. And that's what reality is. Oh my God, come on, go, Joe. You are really, man, you're stretching this thing. I'm not stretching it, but you need to see the underlying reality, okay? And the underlying reality is, you are not learning this in churches because of the allegiance to Mammon. So did they go in the back room and build a weird altar and start burning candles and killing birds? No, nothing like that happened. Nothing like that happens. But what is the message that is preached? What is taught? What is promoted? Go to college, get into debt so that you can get a degree. And then if you say anything against that, guess what? You're lectured. You're wrong. What's promoted? Everybody gets patted on the back when they sign a 5-year lease for a car. This is wrong. And you know what's even crazier? I told my wife, I said, I would love to do a pastorate one day, you know, but I said, I can't do it though. And she's like, well, why not? Because I'd get fired. Why do you say stuff like that, Joe? Because I would. Why would you get fired? Why do you think that you would get fired? I would get fired because the day that I looked at the church's finances and saw somehow we had millions of dollars in the bank, you know what I would do? Or even hundreds of thousands of dollars. I said I'd get fired because I'd ask the congregation, hey, how many of you guys need your cars paid off? How many of you guys are still living in debt? And my first priority would be, I need my congregation free from Mammon. I don't want anybody in this congregation having to live under the spirit of Mammon, period. You will not be bonded to Mammon because you need to be free. How many of you guys still have mortgages? The church would be paying that crap off left and right. And you know what would happen? Those who are in on the board, who are of authority over, who have the ability to overrule me, they'd fire me. They'd say, no, you're spending money. They say, you're spending money. We can't have you here. Got to get that one out. Get them gone. And that's what would happen. They'd fire me. They would fire me because I would want, with everything in me, to free as many people as I can from Mammon. And you know what would happen? The doors would be bursting and flooding open with people, just like it was when Jesus was feeding the 5,000. Because people saw that there was somebody that was really there to actually help. And the doors would be flooding open with people, not because I would be preaching a false hope, but because people would be experiencing real freedom and liberation from the spirit of Mammon and from debt. And you know what? I would love to do a pastorate if I could do something like that, but they would fire me in a heartbeat because I have no allegiance to Mammon. I did that before. I've done it, and I don't want to do it again. I don't want to do it again. God, no. So that's the reality, and I'm sick of it. Oh, man. I got a little riled up there. I got a little riled up there, and I'm not sorry. I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry, because I need you to understand. I need you to understand that this is what's going on. This is the system that we live in. This is the church system. This is the way that it works. This is the reality. It's not with a malicious intent as much as it is just the way the system works. It's just the way the system works. They need your money. They need it in order to continue operating. I wouldn't need it. I just would be doing everything that I could to try to help people. Man, it would be so awesome if I could do something like that. Oh, man, that would be so amazing. You could just help people. You know, you could just do what the ministry was supposed to be. And that's the problem with the church today. You know, everybody wants to with the organized church. And that's why it's going underground. I am convinced. You can mark my words right now. The actual church, the body of Christ, the people who follow Jesus Christ, they're underground right now. You don't find them anywhere. You won't find them. They're underground because they see what's going on. They see what's going on. And you think, do you really think that God would let his people, those who follow him, just not like make his people aware of what's going on? You think he's just going to do that? Like, if you love somebody, you're going to tell them, right? Okay. I can't say, you know, I'm not going to argue scripture, but that's just what I kind of, that's my theory. All right. I don't have any scriptural support for that, but that's just my thing. I mean, do you really think that God's just going to be, oh, okay. But I believe those people who hear his voice understand what's going on. And they say, all right, you know what? I see what's going on. I'm getting underground. I'm going away. You won't see. I'm walking away. I'm going away. And they go with the wind. Just, and they fade away like the Thanos snap, you know. And it's just. So, guys, this is Joe. And I just wanted to share my thoughts, my perspectives, my opinions with my spiritual foundation. And I don't want it to come across as if I am bashing the organized church system. It has done that. It's enough to itself. What I'm doing and what I am saying and letting you know is that this is real. This is happening. And it is clear you are not tripping. You are not wrong. If you see and you question the allegiance there, yes, yes, that is real. The allegiance is there. You know, money is a big motivator in organized church. Should it be? No. But I don't see another way that system can operate. Will it change? No. It's just the way it's been designed from the onset. And what do you have to do at this point? You have to choose. You have to choose. You know, you can continue to stay in an abusive relationship, or you can walk away. You know, it's not going to change. And I feel bad because, you know, there are people who operate within that capacity and they need it. But that in and of itself is the problem. You are dependent on a system. And your money is coming from that system. Not your hope is on that system, not God. You know, when I walked away, that was a big, big thing for me. I was like, I'm hoping on this system. You know, my faith is that this whole thing continues to go and it continues to flow and operate. That's what I need in order to have income. And I wanted to experience what God could do. And I have every day since then. I have. I've lost jobs. I've kept jobs. But actually, ever since that day, when I walked, I've lost jobs and kept jobs, you know, and I got new jobs, whatever. But what I've learned is that God will sustain you. Even when I didn't have a job, you know, I didn't miss a meal because I learned that God sustains you. God is my provider, not men, not an organized system, not church, not a job, none of that. God himself, he keeps his people. Period. And that's what the body has to learn. That's what the organized system has to learn, but it won't. But that's what you people who are listening to this, who are still in that system, that's what you have to learn. And I hope you do. Because when you do, you're going to have a very tough, very, very tough decision to make. Very tough. And I won't say it's easy, because there are so many different things that you got to, you know, weigh yourself against. But God will be with you. And if ever you need a brother, you can always reach out to me. This is Joe, and this is Faith Without the Walls. I'll see you on the next one.